Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a Two-Faced Twi'lek and a Pugilist Droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Solonian Captain and the Gandroid Tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. The riding on the sky on fire, heading to the edge of the Empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hadean Way.
Previously on Heroes of the Hadean Way, in order to cover more ground, the party went their separate ways. Vorn and Billy escorted their Rodian guests back to Sky on Fire for safety and discussion. However, Vorn is discomfited when a familiar face, his own, appears on a bounty ad. Billy stands guard while her Twi'lek friend puts the ship on lockdown. Meanwhile, Cav and Barrowin tail a Toydarian. Words are exchanged and shots are fired, but the fluttering foe escapes. The pair cut their losses and head back to the ship with a new lead, another name. But which lead will they follow? Find out on this week's episode, Waylaid at the Warehouse.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hadean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures in the Fantasy Flight game Star Wars RPG line. Currently, we are playing Trouble Brewing, and it can be found in the Edge of the Empire core book. This is Episode 4, and I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
This human's name is Christine. Christine is a podcaster, gamer, and a nerd. Christine plays the Gandroid Tech Cav.
I'm Brandon. I am also a gamer and game developer and nerd, probably also. I have to assume nerd is on all of our lists, right?
One would hope so, but...
and I play the ship captain, Barrowin. The space captain, Barrowin.
I am Leslie. I am a filthy casual, and I play Billy the Droid.
And I am David, and I play Vorin the Gambler, slash...
Awesomeness.
Yeah, just a gambler.
Cook, chef.
He doesn't have any other description.
Yep, and certainly doesn't have a bounty on his head.
No.
Oh, yeah, no. Vorin the completely innocent gambler.
Yep. Just coincidentally looked like that guy on the poster.
Vorin the, hey, you look familiar.
What poster?
That guy was way blurrier than I look.
And to get to know our characters a bit better, we get one character to ask another a question.
So, Cav, I have a question for you today.
Yes, Vorin?
You have this droid, K1, that buzzes around and lets us talk to you. So, I am wondering, what is the first thing that Cav has ever built? Not a droid, not any grand project, but what is the first thing that you ever built that made you realize you liked to build things?
Well, Cav belonged to a maker clan. Cav was always supposed to build things. Cav took more things apart when Cav was smaller than put back together. Cav didn't so much build as modify a toy Cav was given. A small speeder bike, a model, and Cav worked on a small repulsor lift generator to enable that bike to fly. Cav thought it was a good idea at the time, but then Cav flew it through a window, and then Cav had to worry about repairing that window. It's really not all that exciting, Vorin.
Anything that results in a broken window sounds plenty exciting to me.
Billy will agree.
And that is when Cav knew Cav wanted to be a pilot.
Is that how you lost your lungs?
As we come back, we see Billy in front of the Sky on Fire. When we last left Billy, Billy was setting out Sabacc cards to sort of foretell the future in ways that she had seen other gamblers do in the past. But in this particular case, as soon as the deck got pulled out and got shuffled, four rustabouts came over and started anteing up to play in the game. So as we come back, the house, Billy, has just won the entire pot as four rustabouts are just sort of throwing down their cards, groaning with how just unfair, like one saying, "Are those cards marked?" Turning them over, like turning the sort of flickering plastic thing in his hand over and over, like just looking like a, to everyone, a completely unmarked card, throwing it down, and there's this pile of, I'm going to go with a pile of, let's say, 153 credits. It is sitting there along with, like, strewn in a bunch of the Sebek cards in front of Billy, on top of this one crate, as there comes Berwin, looking completely, utterly disheveled, as if they've been dragged through a... No, they would have been dragged through mud, but there's just no water, so it's just this dirt. And Cav, just finally finishing the last of the biscuits.
Cav is also, like, wiping some of the dirt off of Barrowin's, like, fur, just trying to clean her up a little bit as we're walking.
Barrowin is probably grumpy about this because her fur is still also standing on end, which likely made it pick up a little more dust because somebody stunned her.
With an ion shot.
With an ion gun.
I'm just glad it was you and not me.
That was kind of awesome. And there's the translator droid flying along with this flimsyplast.
Barrowin's carrying the flimsyplast.
Oh, right.
Yeah, for, yeah, which is good, because probably as soon as K1 started to fly, the flimsyplast like, flew up to cover up her photoreceptor. So
Barrowin's got it in a pocket.
It acted like a sail and just kind of dragged her off course.
So her little manipulator arms were folded back up.
Barrowin was kind of interested in hearing what the insect thing was had to say, so, you know, she and K1 will talk later.
If you wanted to hang back a little bit, K1 probably would stick with you if you asked her to.
Now, I did contemplate whether Barrowin would do that, and I don't think she would. I think a more cunning and or spiteful character would have been like, no, Cav, I want to see where this is going, and insisted Cav stay too. But I don't think Barrowin would, so I didn't.
I would have gone the route, would you like to take a survey? Well, as the gentlemen are wrapping up the round, Billy sees these two approaching? Question mark?
Yes.
What she will do, she will begin gathering the cards first, because those are technically more important to her, and straightening them and putting them away, and then she will begin organizing and gathering the credits. I would like to thank you for a good game. If we should come this way again, would you like to play?
And there's one who was able to get 22 instead of 23, which is what Billy won with. Well, I'm always hankering for a new game.
I would enjoy that.
If you come by Formless again, look me up.
She'll exchange basic contact information, like get his name and if she needs to find him somewhere.
All right.
And then she'll say, if you'll excuse me, the rest of my party has arrived.
Thank you kindly. Yeah, the rustabout will make sure that the other three are not trying to do anything nefarious.
But what's the guy I like? Who's my new friend?
He is Clem.
Clem?
Yes.
With a C or a space K?
Q.
No, C.
It just happens to look like Mr. Delancey, right?
No. I was just thinking of other letters that could make that sound.
No, not Clem. Clem.
C-H-L-E-G-M.
No, we're just going to go with Clem. Standard, kind of.
Okay, thank you.
What are you doing outside the ship, Billy? Did Furin lock himself in his room again?
No, not this time.
Oh, good.
House Vorin is entertaining our guests, and I was keeping watch. He is currently discomfited by situations.
Oh, well, that seems to be going around today.
I dare say. Are you unwell?
Going to look down.
Cav turns away. Looking nonchalant.
Guilty.
I might need a little time in the fresher.
Indeed. One moment, please. Billy will walk up the ramp and give the secret knock that she and Vurin had established before they left their planet.
Okay, and then Vurin will go over and peek out with the little, like, security. Or, you know, he'll look out the window. That's what he'll do. I'm not adding more features to the ship. He'll look out the window.
He looks out the window. Billy does a little wave.
He'll quickly scamper back to the door lock and punch in the little code that he set and erase it. He'll, like, set the code back to what it was before so Barrowin doesn't get mad at him.
Good. Man, I hope like Cav has been working on like some like control panel or something that none of it's hooked up yet, but Vurin's just convinced that it's the security. It's like, yeah. Like there's door locks, right? Like for the whole ship and like force fields and stuff. There's that panel over there.
Cav just comes up. She's like, who keeps resetting the aromatherapy device?
It's supposed to release 2 drops per hour.
Is everything all right?
Everything is fine. I just wanted to make sure that our guests were secure, given how many people seemed interested in our conversations back at the bar.
Thank you, Vurin.
The scam thinks that's a good idea.
I put Brebo to work to keep him useful. He is adding all of his little shortcuts to the Nava computer. Zucata is engaged, attempting to beat our Dejarik board's inbuilt subroutines.
Well, somebody ought to.
He just gives him a look. Gives Barrowin a look. Gives her a look. That's the pronouns.
Oh no, we're being shot at.
Nope, not this time. No, I'm. Anytime you guys have been saying this, I'm just like, okay, roll.
Why do you keep rolling?
Nope. I wanted to see if she was able to beat the inbuilt Dejarik table.
Oh, okay. I was afraid that it was something related to like me having the door open and standing near it.
No, if I'm doing that, then I'm using a dark side point.
Okay. But yeah, so now that Vurin's, like, explained all that, he's going to sort of, like, you know, try and aggressively, casually get everybody on board the ship and shut the door again. And then he's going to, as it kind of shuts, he's going to, like, look out and just, you know, hand sort of straying towards this inside of his jacket pocket.
Did something happen to Vurin?
Why do you ask that?
This Gam notices that Vurin seems on edge.
He seems pretty normal to me, because I have one cunning.
Is Cav asking Barrowin specific, or just voicing questions in general?
Just voicing questions. Cav is actually looking back towards in Vurin's direction.
Yeah, Vurin won't have left the door until it's all the way shut, and he's relocked it with whatever the normal lock code is. Yes, on the aromatherapy pad. Whatever he thinks the door lock is.
I think the door at least does have a lock. I think that feature, I think we've got that.
Yeah, he just won't leave anything to chance with the door. So anyway, you can continue talking about him.
If everything is okay, perhaps the crew should start looking at leads for the crew's bounties.
At the bounty boards, where somebody's face might show up.
Well, we know our target.
And Vrebo knows him.
Heck, if we're lucky, Vrebo's already put the route to the hideout in the Nava computer.
How convincing were you?
The droid R4W9 may not have gone far. J9 wasn't killed far from here.
One thing I do kind of want to get is a average knowledge underworld streetwise at a rim, something like that, since someone might have a name that they're trying to put towards.
If Vurin and Cav can put their respective heads together, Cav has an intellect of 4 to donate to that check.
Okay. Then I will donate my 2 ranks in underworld knowledge.
I would lend my assistance, but it's 2 ranks as well.
This is a little bit of me jumping ahead. There was the assumption that you were wanting to see about, now that you've got a bit of time, seeing about the name that got dropped by the Toydarian.
Oh, sure.
Oh, Ben. Oh, no, that guy. The,
Darrow Blunt.
Yeah.
Quick question, Christine.
Yes.
What's your cunning?
2.
Okay.
The 3 cunning people are the other 2.
Because I do have a rank in Streetwise. I don't know how much that affects things, but obviously I'm only rolling 1 yellow with that because my cunning is crap.
I have 3 cunning and a rank in Streetwise. I could roll it if we need to.
Okay. I am inferior in every way.
I have 3 cunning and 2 ranks in Streetwise.
Man. Oh, well, there you go. Wait, how does Billy have Streetwise?
Well, never mind.
So I felt left out.
Streamwise actually isn't a bad thing to know if you're operating in a casino.
Actually, yeah, no, that makes sense. The casino thing was the angle I'm missing there.
Do we want to do the knowledge underworld since Cav is one of the two people that was there to hear the name Darrow Blunt?
That makes a huge amount of sense.
Yeah, if you say it, and I can say that my contributing knowledge underworld is just overhearing it and seeing if that helps.
Since I've been around a little bit, could I just throw a boost in there? My stats are not as good as theirs, but
sure.
What's our difficulty?
This case, yeah, I'm going to use.
Oh, good.
In this case, it's going to be one red and one purple as I use a destiny point.
I'm going to flip that back, which is going to make the final roll three yellow and a green and a boost versus a red and a purple. Are you kidding me?
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
What?
Two failures. Whoa. Eight advantages.
Okay, just so you kids know, that is a double advantage on the three yellow and the green, and a single advantage on the boost.
So we know a lot about something, but it's not Darrow Blunt.
Maybe information came up on the Tordarian that threatened Darrow Blunt at you guys.
Or we know somebody who would totally know who Darrow Blunt was.
Well, I mean, Zucata is sitting in the room. She might have heard something.
If only we knew somebody who's familiar with this planet.
Yeah, because sadly, you've been on this planet longer than Zucata. She just got in on a passenger transport.
Well, she's been following up leads. That was my thought.
Yeah, but that could be something with either of them, or maybe we start, you know, this is a knowledge check. The three of us, since we're the three that contributed, kind of like tossing ideas around, Billy standing stoically nearby. You know, we keep repeating the name Darrow Blunt, Darrow Blunt, Darrow Blunt, going through, and one of them is like, ahem, so I heard you talking, and... Because we were going in circles and getting nowhere.
And I mean, I did just spend 40 minutes or whatever playing Sabacc with a couple of locals.
That's true as well.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Billy who goes, ahem, wait.
You know, that actually makes a bit of sense. So for at least some of this, like, there's an advantage. We're going to be doing this for a tiny bit. But one of the pieces of information that is good, or that is had, the last thing Clem said is, you better give Blunt his 10%. Otherwise, he's got a nasty habit of coming back and taking it by force. You all right?
And that was to Billy?
Blunt force.
Really? Really? The pride in the laughter is what kills me.
I think it's great.
I got that vibe.
I'm on board.
Only because now you don't have to make all of the puns.
I do appreciate not having to bear all the pun burden. I mean, it's probably an episode title, right? Or something? Like, whenever we track this guy down.
Maybe this one, maybe next
if there's
one.
A fight.
Actually, yeah, a couple of the things that Billy had heard about Blunt was, and I'm just sort of thinking of flashing back to different points within the Sabacc game. The Flophouse over in the Industrials, they've been keeping people away from it because, well, I hear they had a new Navicomp over there, and they weren't wanting anyone to get it. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, they kicked out all the other smugglers. They sent them on jobs, and then all of a sudden, places just shut down, man.
Ben, I'm so glad we're doing Edge of the Empire.
We need to go to a hookah bar. Why do I get the feeling these guys were doing Spice while we were playing?
Well, one might have, because I've been around a bunch of hippies for 4 days.
Oh, music festivals.
Folk music festivals. Yeah, so it's... Yes, I had even heard that one of Blunt's men had been given the cold shoulder by a being and was embarrassed mightily. Ooh, I'd hate to be in that position. That group, they do not taking a mocking well.
Would anything have been dropped that I might have context for what species Mr. Blunt is?
No.
So we're arguing back and forth, trying to figure out, like combining our respective knowledges. And, you know, Ver and Cav and Berwin are coming up with nothing. And then
I'm just sort of thinking that, like, Billy's actually doing the voices, like, replaying them.
Oh, yeah. Oh. No, it's pure recording.
In that case...
Like, no holo recording, just voice.
What was the location where they said the astro navigation thing was?
The industrials. Flophouse is the industrial area.
That sounds like a lead to me, Cav.
Cav agrees. Cav would like to get Chanine's friend back.
Well, maybe Vrebo knows a little bit more about this, so that we're not walking in blind.
Or is this not the same as her Nava computer, so I assumed Vrebo had some
Band and Doba might be related to this, but we don't know.
The crew can learn more by investigating this flophouse.
Who's good at investigating?
Cav raises Cav's hand.
What is investigating?
That was not strictly an in-character question. I presume Barrowin would know.
This would be something like Streetwise.
Like, it sort of there's a lot of things that could come in handy. Streetwise is usually good for asking around, like, kind of the gather information sort of thing.
So wait, there might be more than one flophouse in the industrial sector?
I mean, maybe.
Exactly.
Obviously, perception and vigilance are both potentially useful for just spotting details. Like, there's a lot of things that could come in handy.
Exactly.
Cunning and intellect, I guess, are the things that are tied to the majority of those skills. Possibly presence if you want to ask people questions more directly.
Cav has great intellect and nothing else. No skills in any kind of investigation kind of skill unless computers comes up.
I have 3 cunning, and then I've got 1 point in perception and 1 in streetwise and 2 in knowledge under world.
What about Billy?
Billy's 3 and 2 in streetwise.
Sounds like Cav is definitely our best investigator in general.
Oh, does Cav have an investigation hat and a pipe?
I mean, we can find one, I'm sure.
Cav is incapable of smoking a pipe.
Just, Kev, go raid Vurin's closet. Find something that makes you look, hard-boiled.
You realize that was actually something you say in character. Kev will go do that.
I know. I just don't think Barrowin would make the joke. One cunning is hard.
You did it to yourself.
I know. So, I guess, question. Do we want to split up again? Or do we want to stick together this time? I don't know if we have anywhere else we need to be.
I don't know that we have anywhere else to go. I know that Vurin in his present state is not going to want to be split up from everyone else leaving the ship, but he's not going to tell you that.
Cav really wants to go find that droid.
Billy would like to as well, but Billy would probably also like Vurin to stay on the ship or with her.
I think Vurin would rather go with Billy than on the ship, because it's harder to stop Billy than it is to just get on a ship.
Hey, no, that's probably true.
These dice have been pretty hateful, guys.
So everyone's going?
I think so.
We should talk to our Rodian friends.
I do.
First.
Yeah, I do want to talk to at least Vrebo. I'm not as personally worried about the other one, but if she knows something, she knows something.
Can we put a password on the ship's computer just in case they're not as trustworthy as we seem to think they are?
What computer?
There's gotta be a computer on the ship. How else was I looking at Pinterest?
This is Star Wars. There's a lot of gear that has computers in them, but there's not really a...
It's fair.
Cav has a data pad.
I don't know.
Remove the starting column. Just pocket it.
Yeah, just like, I don't know. Well, whatever. Vurin doesn't know enough about ships to know to do that anyway.
Take the space keys.
They're blue. That's how you know they're from space.
So, you're wanting to talk to Vrebo?
I'd like to at least, yeah.
He looks up from the astrogation. Actually, has a holo projected of the local sector. You can see a couple different locations. You can see where Phomos is highlighted, and you can see a bunch of different locations.
How you holding up, kid?
That nice twilight. Vurin, he got me to start working on this. I think I'm doing a good job. I'm putting in all the places I know about, and, well, the other guy said I was pretty good at this, so...
You definitely are. I can tell.
Barrowin will sit in one of the other free chairs in the cockpit. I assume we're in the cockpit.
Sure.
So, this is, she's, of course, still dirty.
Did something happen?
Yes. This has probably been a bit of an exciting day for you. Do you know anything about a flop house in the industrial district that has some kind of navicomputer thing going on?
R4 droid.
Is that what Cav's just yelling from?
Yeah.
Well, the one time that we did work directly for Blunt, we stayed there overnight. And then they loaded up the ship in the morning and we headed off. That was a really profitable run.
So you've worked for Blunt?
One time, but I flew in. I'm not really that good at navigating here on the ground.
Did you see anything, security or other defenses? Anything that we might need to worry about?
Not really. There was like a strongbox there that maybe had something in it, but no. It looked mostly like a warehouse. They didn't even really have much stuff in the warehouse. It was just like crates and containers stacked on top of each other.
What did they have you do? You just delivering things or something else?
Yeah, no. That's what the captain wanted us to do. We were there to do a job for Blunt and get some of this Formosian refined water into this other place. I don't really remember what it was. Tattoo something.
I haven't heard of it. Your captain's the one you're running from, right?
Now I would say I'm probably running, yes.
So I don't want to make you do anything you don't want to do, but we're going to look into Blunt's business because he knows some bad people.
Yes, he does.
If you stay here, which you are welcome to do, you will be safe.
Ooh, yes.
And maybe we can talk payment for your... She motions to the navicomputer that he's been putting stuff into.
I would be most grateful for that.
You're doing great, kid.
Thank you.
Seriously adorable.
Barrowren will go ahead and leave him to his work then, possibly after making sure that the flight controls are securely locked down.
Fair enough.
Oh, so now we can lock the controls.
I told you.
Yeah.
She's got a club.
I can lock the controls.
Actually, she just pulls the whole steering yoke off, so it's just an empty steering column.
Just stick it in my greatcoat.
That's why you've got all those giant pockets on the inside.
Yeah.
I thought she just put it on a high shelf where none of the rest of us can.
Excuse you.
Yeah, Billy's pretty tall.
And I have stupidly long arms. They're amazing.
Yeah. Hey, Billy, I have something I'd like you to put on a high shelf.
Of course.
And promise not to take down.
Would you like me to disguise it as well?
Sure. That sounds useful. So, what happened is she hides it in a hatbox in Vern's closet. A few minutes later, Cav comes in to find a hat because she was told to.
And that's how we added a fedora to this mix. You have to admit, it would look pretty great with the sunglasses.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Not so great with the floral shirt and the orange coveralls, but you know what?
I'm sorry, are you wearing a steering yoke on your head now?
No, the steering yoke went in the hat box, thus the hat had to leave the hat box.
Okay.
See?
Yeah, at this point, I'm just sort of thinking like a Miami-based Gand private investigator at this point.
Does Tom Selleck ever wear a fabulous hat?
Yeah, pretty close.
No. Alright, so Barrowin will turn to the others, fill them in on what Vrebo said.
Yeah, we were all totally standing there listening.
Well, she fills you in anyway.
Cav was probably actually in the next room, so just yelling in.
So the crew can go and retrieve W9?
Let's do it.
We do not know that these incidents are connected, but it would seem to be our best lead.
I think we can go check it out, personally.
Cav was honestly more concerned with retrieving the droid and worrying about the bounty afterwards.
But the thing is, we have no leads on the droid, really.
The Flophouse.
Flophouse is on a different person, though. Or am I missing something here?
No, they mentioned the astro navigation thing. That sounds like the droid.
They mentioned a Navicomp, which was not necessarily an R4 unit.
That's not usually a droid. Like, droids and Navicomps do the same thing.
Either way, it is a lead on the thing that we want to find, so I'm going to vote we go after the flop.
Forgive me if I'm wrong, I don't have any notes on this, but didn't J9 mention that, like, W9 was, like a really good astro droid?
Yes, but that there's been nothing to necessarily connect the two directly in a less meta way. I think Kev's assumption makes sense, but I don't think that everybody would think
I got you.
Same way.
Well, I mean, internal to the universe, usually if you have a Navicomputer, you don't need an astromech and vice versa. They serve the same purpose. They don't augment each other, generally.
But it does. It also might make sense that if somebody doesn't either wants to mislead or somebody doesn't want to care about a droid as a droid, that they would just refer to it dismissively as a piece.
And there is also one other small crucial thing that a Navicomputer will not do. It will not try and track you.
So, Cav is just being very hopeful in character.
It wouldn't be insane to expect they might be connected because of the coincidence level and the fact that, like, if there is something in the droid's memory that they want in their spiffy Navicomputer, that would be a situation where they would definitely want to get a hold of the droid.
Cool. So, Flophouse.
Screen wipe.
Flophouse, yes, indeed.
Screen wipe to a destiny point being used.
Oh man, do we have to watch a bad movie when we get there? And then talk about it?
Tempting, but no. No, I am needing a hard perception check.
From whom?
If you want to do it as a group, sure. If you want to do it as individuals, that's okay too.
I'm fine with group.
Yep, I think group makes the most sense because
three cunning, no skill ranks.
Much of anything.
Wait, I have a rank in perception.
Oh yeah, this is all going to be you, Vurin. If it's perception right now, that's your skill. The rest of us have nothing to contribute.
All right, so wait, does anybody have a three cunning or better? I've got just better than a three cunning.
I just said I have a three cunning.
Okay, so because we tie on cunning then. So I was just hoping to get a bonus.
No, can give you is a boost.
So it's going to be... All right, that's fine. I'll take a boost. Let's see.
So there'll be three boosts?
And a destiny point. We've only got five.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, and then how difficult is this?
It is going to be, just three purple.
Use the force, Vurin.
It's going to be three purple and one setback due to the oppressive heat.
Okay, and I am going to flip that point, which can someone type it in for me, because I've already typed this string of things.
Hold on one moment. Ignore the setback. Aren't you a Twi'lek?
Oh, yeah, it's hot. That's what the setback's coming from. I'm a Twi'lek. Thank you. I don't care that it's hot.
Are Twi'leks hot?
Twi'leks are from an arid planet, so we're just used to it. I will go ahead and use that force point to make that an extra yellow. So the final pool is two yellows, a green, three boost, and three purple. Here we go. What did I roll?
It
seems to be a little slow right now.
We can't succeed to save our lives.
No!
I don't think I've ever seen this many double failures in a single, night.
I got one advantage out of all of that.
Wow, that is impressive.
What is in the water on this planet?
There isn't any.
That's half the point. It's all
No, the problem is it's all super manufactured, so they're probably tainting.
We're actually currently dying
addicted.
Of heat stroke, and this entire adventure is kind of a fever dream.
We might have gotten some really bad biscuits earlier.
Yes, tainted biscuits. So what happens is, come up to essentially a square. You see a couple warehouses. There's actually the biscuit barn off to one of the sides on the far side. And you just pass between what looks to be probably an abandoned home and a warehouse. And then all of a sudden, a rain of blaster fire goes well over your head.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that sets Vurin right off, so he ducks immediately and whips the blaster out quick draw style.
Cav freezes in place and isn't moving for a couple of seconds, just in kind of shock at what just occurred.
Okay, and then there's this rather weather-worn human. There's a tiny bit of remembrance, like you've seen him earlier in the day, possibly in the Biscuit Baron. And
is it that dumb kid?
Well, you also see the dumb kid. This guy looked like he was with him. You also see a Weequay. And off in the back, you can see this one guy who's got braced up against the side of a warehouse, a heavy blaster pistol. You've got the old weathered, like, 50s and been out in the sun for far too much kind of guy. He's got two blaster pistols out. He's like,
"Look, you idiots, clearly you have no idea what you're dealing with here. Drop your weapons and we'll go easy on you."
And you can see a small group of humans off with what look to be pretty ancient looking weapons. They're kind of weird. Maybe they're slug throwers or something. And yeah, you can see the other two from the Biscuit Baron earlier standing kind of just behind the old weathered guy.
There's what, like five or six
of
them?
Yeah, can you run through this, the who's where for me again? Because I missed it all. Or at least I didn't absorb it all.
So you've got the old weather guy pretty much sort of out in the middle of the square. You've got flanking him on either side. You've got a weak way on one side and the young jerk from earlier. Off and behind, leaning up against a warehouse, you've got a Godel, who's leaning over a large blaster rifle. The blaster rifle itself is braced up against the building. And you've got three guys in behind that look like they're using some pretty ancient looking kind of gun.
Okay. So this, okay, you might not like me for this, but this seems the best decision I can make for the character at the time. Vorin is jumpy as it is possible to get. He's very stressed today. So his reaction to all of these people stopping them in the street suddenly and shooting at them is to yell, "I'll never go back!" And he'll fire his blaster at the Godel and dive while firing towards the nearest available cover. Just wide-eyed and panicking.
Makes sense.
I think that's going to be initiative.
Well, I'll let the shot go off and then we'll do initiative.
Okay. He's not aiming because he's diving. So,
I'll toss in a setback because of the dive.
Okay. Can I argue that he ends up in cover because of the dive?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. That's totally.
He's fundamentally misunderstood what's happening here. At least I think he has.
Okay, the reasoning behind, but yeah, not so much what's happening. Okay, so yeah, the dude's at medium range, so that's two purple, one setback.
All right, it's going to be three purple and a setback because of Burin's gun having the front sight filed off so he can draw it quickly. So it's going to be... All right, so I've got an agility of three, and I have one rank in ranged light. I'm going to flip a light side point to get a second yellow. Three purple, two setback.
Oh, and this, actually, it's going to be, switch one of those out for a red. This
okay.
Is...
he's an adversary.
With how I've been rolling, yeah. This is not going to go well.
He only, he is the only adversary of the bunch.
Oh, well, great, that's who I picked to shoot.
I mean, he does have the biggest gun, so it seems like the correct target.
I shot at him because he was the most memorable of the group. The final result of this roll is going to be two yellows, a green, two purples, a red, two setbacks, an automatic threat, and an automatic success. So,
by our powers combined, we figure out how to roll.
Please succeed. Let this be the roll you succeed on.
I'm hoping.
No!
What?
So many double failures.
Three failure and an advantage. So Vorin goes diving. He has a very small gun. It's a very small pistol, but it goes off. And because of the modifications that have been done to it, his pistol goes off with a much higher pitched, kind of almost like if you imagine the tension wire that Ben Burtt is hitting to make this blaster sound effect is just wound a little bit too tight. And it just fires off into the air about 8 feet above the Godel's head and blows a chunk out of the building behind him. But Vorin doesn't even notice because he's scrambling behind the nearest box.
Do you want your advantage to be that he has disadvantage?
Can I make the advantage that pieces of masonry are raining down on his head, giving him a setback?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
So now initiative.
Yes.
Let's see how well we can fail at this.
Vigilance or cool in this case?
It sounds like vigilance to me.
Yeah, it kind of does to me as well.
I could see an argument for Vurin to roll cool, but the rest of us were caught pretty off guard.
No, Vurin is not cool right now. There's a success, but I didn't have any opposed dice.
Okay, Brandon, do more of that.
Oh, shoot.
Who's got a bad feeling about this?
I don't know, I got a triumph. I feel pretty good. I'm not going first, but I'm ready to just stand there and hope not to get shot.
This whole night has just not gone well for us.
Really?
Have we succeeded at anything except winning at Sabacc?
Cav succeeded at something. Cav stealthed.
It's bad when you can, like, tally up the number of things we've done successfully on less than three fingers.
I mean, to be fair, in that roll, I believe Christine rolled, like, four successes, but only succeeded by one.
No, we had rolling so many double failures tonight.
Yeah, it's been remarkable.
Hey, there we go.
Guys, we are so dead.
Sorry, guys. I just couldn't think of any reason that Vurin would react rationally to this.
No, I very much like it, but I also wanted to... I asked earlier in the chat, can I, like, self-impose a fear check? Because I think with this many guns facing us, I think Cav is has that chance to be out of it.
What, Cav hasn't been shot at before?
I think Cav's been shot at before. I think right now it's a numbers game. Cav much prefers it when it's on equal footing. Or when Cav has an advantage.
It's not even 2-1.
Well, three of those NPCs are going to get to go first. And three of us are still standing out in the middle of nowhere.
Season of heroes ever.
It'll be fine. I do have some requests for my cybernetic tail, though, when I have to replace this one. Yeah.
I think it should be made out of springs.
So, the three street toughs are reaching to their... Actually, no, I'm going to completely follow the directions of the thing. They actually do have down here what happens for the first round for the NPCs. And I'm going to follow them for at least one or two of these. So for the street toughs, they're going to maneuver in behind cover. They're attempting to take cowing fire at, Cav? Or at the group, really? It's like warning shots. And when they shoot, you actually hear gunfire. These are slug throwers, not blaster rifles. And above, like well above, you hear the ping, ping, ping of three shots hitting the warehouse that is in behind the group.
I guess to Christine's question, should we do fear checks? Do you think that makes sense?
Okay, for Cav, especially with the way that it looks, yeah. And actually, the two I'm unsure of is Berwyn and Billy.
Berwyn's been in a firefight before, so while this is obviously not a good situation, I'm not sure that she'd be, like, freaked out to the point of the fear mechanic.
Well, okay, I've got a better way of looking at it for a fear mechanic kind of thing, is... I still want to get discipline roll from everyone. I'm just going to have differing difficulties. So, Berwyn and Billy get one purple for difficulty. Vurin gets two purple and a setback because of the obligation and the stuff running around in his head. And then the last one for Cav is going to be... Even with it kind of being Cav's first firefight, I'm still thinking it's going to be too purple.
Yeah, and that's really what I wanted to, why I was asking about it, because I wanted to see what if the dice would help me relay how Cav is going to adapt to this. And apparently pretty well, with two successes. That inbred Gand willpower and discipline is coming in handy.
Woohoo! So, only the one that has actually already shown fear is fearing.
Yep, the one who's already pretty much been on a knife edge all day.
On the bright side, hey, we succeeded on a bunch of rolls.
Yeah, we did, with like all these successes we got.
Now I'm the only one who's not succeeded at anything tonight.
Berwyn is apparently not very good at anything, but brave.
Brave is always good.
Except if it comes with stupid.
The Goodle off in the background, I'm going to carry forward his setback to next round when he's actually shooting at things. So what's happening is he is shooting, and what he's doing, since he actually saw movement from the last time he shot, and someone shot in his general direction, he's going to be shooting at Vurin, but he doesn't shoot anywhere actually close. He kind of shoots into the cover that Vurin, like, that's beside Vurin, to try and scare him and rattle him.
Oh, he succeeded at that.
Apparently.
Yeah, two failure and a threat. Vurin is barely holding onto his gun.
And the last one to go before y'all is the weak way is going to reach to the back of their belt and pull out a seethed vibro knife, turn it on, and start charging towards the group. Getting to, I think, yeah, he's going to get engaged with Barrowin. He's not going to be able to do anything, but he's going to get to engaged.
So he's going to run up really menacingly, screaming at you, and stop. I know that's not how these work, but I always love that mental image where, you know, they finish their movement and they're just completely impotent beyond that. They're like, aah!
Hope you like saying hello to the ground.
Who wants the first initiative slot, people?
I figured either Barrowin or Billy.
Who are the two enemies who haven't gone?
The idiot kid.
Is he armed?
Yes, he does have a heavy blaster.
I don't know who the other one is.
He was in the bar. The guy with two blaster pistols.
The guy that talked to us?
Yeah, the guy who yelled at you.
Is anyone liable to shoot either of them?
I don't have a range weapon, so I figured I would just hit people.
Real quick, what are the consequences of failing that fear check?
Just failing is a setback on all of your actions.
Okay.
Yeah, and the rest was a strain I was going with.
Yeah, you have to generate, like, three threat for something worse to happen.
All right, well, I mean, Vurin can go whenever we want, but he will most likely not do very well. He'll shoot at somebody, he'll just shoot very panicky and quickly. And
I do at some point want to leadership Vurin back to not afraid, but with a guy up on me, I'm not sure if that's prudent to do my
do
first
turn. Do you tailwind. Want Billy to go first? Billy might be very protective, and Billy may be a little bit better in melee.
I mean, Billy might be mildly better in melee, but I do have...
Oh, true, you have the tail weapon.
Yeah, and I've got two ranks in brawl, and I roll brawl with my agility if I'm using my tail. I will knock him down, Billy will kill him. That's, I guess, the question.
My logic was I wanted Billy to go first because she's going to be really upset right now because Vurin is terrified out of his mind and he is her family, effectively. And now this guy's up in the grill of her other slightly less but still family.
Yeah, go for it.
And so I figure Billy would want to go first because she knows she can't shoot. So she should take care of immediate threat.
That makes sense.
The guy in your face.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Go
so
for it.
So if you're cool with that, Billy wants to punch.
Yep.
Punch him.
So which weapon are you using?
I'm punching him with vibro knuckles.
Oh, okay, so blades pop out of your knuckles.
So yeah, Billy is going to basically just clench her fists and go in swinging.
Awesome.
This is going to be two purple because it's engaged.
Because it is melee, yes.
Tonight continues, ladies and gentlemen of the audience.
Leslie, what did you get?
I'm sorry. I just broke myself slightly. Allow me to read the exact quote the computer has provided me. All dice have canceled out. So, I'm pretty sure that Ben has bribed the Destiny Pool butt thing. Did you say, yeah, no, give him a really hard time tonight. So that is 5 dice, 3 blank. Doubles on the good, doubles on the bad, cancel out.
All right. So how does that look with you coming up and getting in this guy's face, but... Like,
well, I'm figuring she was like I said, she is not happy, but it's not something she's used to really expressing yet. And so she prepares to, like, barbarian rage
but then checks herself because she's going over there and she's all like, I'm going to beat the living crap out of this guy. But she's not really at home with being a beater. Like, that's not something she's had to do a lot in her circumstance. Also, Berwyn is right there, so it's like, I don't want to hurt Berwyn. So it's kind of a whiff, loom.
Then we have an NPC. I think the little snot is going to be attempting to... He's going to be looking at the old weathered guy, looking at Cav, seeing Vurin there. You can see the rage just wafting off of him as he sees where Vurin is. And in this case... Actually, heck. I want to see if the guy can hit it.
I'm the one who is looming at the kid.
You were looming. Vurin was getting in the way of his actual attempt at whatever the idiocy was. Yeah, what happens with this guy is he's looming. He's not so much drawing a bead, but he is trying to show off to his boss and tries to take a shot at Vurin and misses. Misses enough that it looks more like it went wide, but you can see him just sort of stamping his foot at, like, that didn't even go anywhere near where I was wanting it to.
I was aiming for his head.
He was aiming to crease Vurin's head, but that didn't work.
All right. I think we either have Vurin's reaction to that near miss, or we have Berwyn dealing with the person in front of her.
Well, we have two turns in a row, so we can do both. Do you want to go first, David?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go first. I don't want to leave cover, so I think what Vurin will do is aim such as it is. He's basically just going to sort of like sit there and peek out from the cover with the gun a little bit and take a pot shot, which quickly becomes a series of rapid panic shots at the Godel who was shooting at him with the rifle.
All right, so. Still at medium.
Well, the kid shot at you most recently, I think.
Oh, yeah, no, he'll go at the kid then, because whoever shot at him most recently.
Yeah, then that would be the kid. Kid is out in the open, so... No, the kid would have moved up and is at short range now.
All right, I think I'm going to go ahead and use another destiny point.
And don't forget, you do have an additional setback because you're afraid.
Yes. So there's one of those, and...
But your grand difficulty will be purple and a setback.
I'm going to get another setback automatically because of my gun.
Okay, so two setback.
Well, one setback and a threat, I thought. It's an automatic threat, or it's an automatic setback?
So the automatic success and threat only apply to the first shot I shoot each encounter.
Oh, okay.
So
For the set trigger.
Yes, for the set trigger, and then the blaster actuating module is what gives it the extra setback and the extra damage.
When you get money, I really need to modify that thing for you.
Exactly, yes. Very much so. All right, so this is one yellow. Oh, no, sorry. I paid for this. It's two yellow, a green,
yep,
a purple, and two setbacks. So here we go. Come on. Succeed at one thing tonight, Vurin.
Yay!
Bam!
Yes! That's two success and two advantage, which is one shy of my crit rating. So I will take the two advantage and say that Vurin's spray of bolts is sort of having a suppressing fire effect on this guy and is going to give him two... No, it's one setback for two advantage, right?
Let's see if you kill him first.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
There's that. How much damage do you do?
Okay, so this gun, this blaster pistol on its own now, because of the module, does 7 damage, so I just did 9.
And that's enough to... Like, that shoots him high in the chest and just flips him on his back.
Oh, then can I use the 2 to recover a strain? Because it's like, oh, they're not invulnerable.
Oh, even like you get 2 strain.
Cool. All right, then that puts me at no suffered strain. Yeah, all right, I'll take it. The one thing
well,
I
succeeded everyone, on. We can all rest easy in the fact that our first kill of the campaign was a child.
He wasn't a child.
It's like a 19-year-old.
He was shooting at me.
Hey, look, that orphanage had it coming.
I thought we were the orphanage.
Exactly. You've got.
I'm so confused.
It was a rival orphanage.
Oh, can't have those,
gone.
Man. They probably peed on our statue.
I guess I'll go
something.
Ahead now. So, after sort of like ducking below Billy's swings to make sure that she doesn't take one of my ears off or something.
I'm so sorry.
It's fine. I'm sure you haven't actually attacked me today, so
this gamble says this gamble's sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I did get a triumph on my initiative.
That you did, which gets you a free maneuver.
In that case, I would like to use it to aim. Like as I'm sort of ducking under Billy, I'm gonna kind of like line up my tail at this guy's legs, and then I will. I'm gonna use a destiny point, everybody, because I want this to be good. And tail attack.
Berowyn uses tail whip.
He did not have any melee defense.
Oh, that guy, no.
Yay! Successes are happening.
So that's 6 damage.
For the audience, what did you get?
Oh, I got 3 successes and an advantage. So yeah, I'm almost making up for my earlier performance.
Sadly, this is like the one guy in armor. So you that's can fine. See that this actually does phase him, just isn't laying him out.
Well, that's fine because Salonian Tails activate knockdown on 1 advantage.
So you're going to trip him.
Seriously?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, I can double check to verify that I'm not inventing that.
No, I'll believe you. I'm just...
Sweep the leg, Johnny.
Yep. Okay. So I knock him down.
That's awesome.
And since I had that free maneuver from the triumph...
You sit on
it. I will... Yeah, I'm going to take my other maneuver to, like, kneel on him. And if I can do this all at once, which I understand if it's too much for one maneuver, you know, drawing my blaster and pointing it at him, like, don't get up.
No, considering what you're doing, the way you're doing it, it almost sounds like the way I'm almost envisioning this is there's Berowyn, Billy's off to the side, this weakways come up, charging with a... vibro knife coming in, and just as they get in, just as they're sort of raising their arm, there's Berowyn just essentially spinning, almost pirouetting, smacking him with the tail, knocking him down onto the ground, blaster out, pointed at his head, and essentially saying, don't get up.
She'll literally say, like, stay down.
Okay.
You know, she doesn't want to have more bodies lying around here than need be, but she will increase that count if she has to. Yay, I found what I'm good at.
Alright, so we've got the last NPC. And what he is going to do is... Okay, this guy's got 2 blasters. What's going to happen is... one blaster is going to be pointed at the sky. And thankfully these are directed plasma weapons, not guns, so the bullets aren't coming down. And... shoots at the, essentially shoots at Berowyn's foot. Like, and it ends up, like, maybe a foot away.
Okay. Classic Salonian standoff.
Yeah, but Berowyn's feet are on top of one of his compatriots right now.
Yeah, that's the Salonian standoff.
It's the other foot that he shoots at. Not
is
the
this
one
the leathered guy?
This is the leathered guy, yeah. And what he does is yell out... as sort of his last thing is, kill the griffin outside us! And then shoots into the air with his second blaster. As he then starts, they both come up to point at, like, one's pointing at Billy, one's pointing at Berowyn. Then we have Kev.
Okay. I'm going to narrate for a second, and then we can start figuring out what actual maneuvers and stuff this is going to, it's all going to cost. So, blasters got drawn. If Cav could sweat, Cav would have begun to sweat. Blasters start going off. Cav passed their fear check. K1 did not. So the blaster bolts start flying, and Cav then thinks enough to like start diving for cover and reaching for Cav's weapon. And that's when they notice K1 flying away as fast as she can, trying to get around the corner. And there's that moment of like a sigh. And then Cav's sunglassed eyes drift over, and that's when they notice the repulsor forklift sitting there. And then Cav smiles, that creepy mandible smile, and gets up and is going to book it towards the forklift. So I spend a destiny point to summon this forklift into existence, and then I want to see if I can't get on it. And if I have enough action economy at the point I'm on it, I'm going to do something with it.
Forklift was my favorite summon in Final Fantasy VII.
It's Bahamut, right? Baja Forklift.
All
right.
Let's see. Yep. Nope. Forklift is absolutely there.
I mean, there's boxes around for cover, so the forklift probably isn't far away.
Yeah. I'm figuring it's at like short range. Jump on it. It's another maneuver.
Okay.
If you're spending...
So if I spend 2 strain, I still have an action.
Yeah. Which could be used to like start the thing, or I'm not sure what else could be done with a...
My thought was there's a trio of armed guys with slug throwers who are firing at my friends. I'm going to come barreling at them like I'm going bowling.
Fair.
Goes bowling for cronies.
And I actually am trained in piloting planetary.
Of course you are. Of course you are. Okay, so first off, I am using a destiny point on this because... So the forklift is there, the forklift is on. You run up, you jump in, and jam the controls forward, trying to get through the cover that these guys have gone in behind. It's a stationary thing. It's a silhouette, too. It's moving at lantern.
I mean, it's probably like speed 1. It's...
Calculating.
Yeah, I'm calculating. Yeah, it's one of those things of, yeah, going with that. I'm going with it's horrible for maneuvering, so that'd be like handling -3.
Yeah, forklifts are weird to drive because they're both highly maneuverable, and yet that's very difficult to.
They are awkward.
They are very awkward. So 3 yeah. Setbacks.
Like, I'm not saying that they're a Solonian high cone ship or anything.
I appreciate the pause for me to be offended, but we all know the cone ships are not great.
Okay. In that case, it'll be 1 purple, 1 red, and 3 setback base.
Okay, I never said this was a good idea. This has struck me as a lot more fun than me just pulling out my ion stunner and shooting. So we're doing this.
But also gets you a lot closer in case you do.
As the other nice thing I figure is this is a mobile piece of cover if we need it. Or I might improvise it into something else on a following turn. So we'll see, because I am a mechanic. So we're looking at a yellow and 2 green for my skill versus 3 setback dice, a purple and a red. What could go wrong? All dice have canceled out. So actually, in the grand scheme of things, that's not that bad. So I'm thinking like Cav gets this thing started and starts spinning it around. And kind of like when I first learned how to drive a forklift, just the back end is just kind of spinning around. It's just Cav's not building up enough speed as Cav's trying to get a handle on the maneuverability of this thing, and starts like weaving it in and out of the like crates. I don't want to know what that was.
I was wanting to see what would happen if I did the roll.
You did amazing. That would have been great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't we take that again. Those results instead with that triumph?
I'm actually not against that.
No. That'd be cheating.
Okay, fine.
So Cav brings the thing around, but by this time the minions have seen Cav coming and are just getting out of the way. So I haven't run anybody over yet.
But I will go with you completely, utterly demolishing their cover.
Okay. That is kinder than you need to be.
Well, it kind of is, but it's also, hey, look, now we've got this Silhouette 2 vehicle just barreling around. And it sort of makes sense that, okay, yeah, you weren't going fast enough to actually get them, but yeah, you definitely got their cover, causing them to move.
There you go. And that's how we end our first round of combat.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me, Christine, and Cav on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12th and Night with a K. If you want to hear more from me, I'm going to be a part of the Little Busters Twitch stream, where myself and 14 other folks will be playing Modiphius' Tales from the Loop. My first episode is scheduled for Wednesday night, October 10th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the twitch.tv/nomedic channel. That's G-N-O-M-E-D-I-C.
You can find me, Brandon, on Twitter at Blue of the Ken.
It's Leslie at LeslieGS, but you all know that by now.
And I'm David, and you can find me at AKA Agent Shades, and she tried to kill them with a forklift.
We are all at TheHeidianWay.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Heidian Way.
Our podcasts are on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts? It's no longer Google Play?
Google Podcast, yeah. Actually, is
okay.
It?
Yeah, it's a recent development.
Yeah.
All right, so you're messing up my script, Google. What the griff? All right, so we're on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Heidian Way. You can holocom us at heroes@theheidianway.com.
And since everybody else is doing some nice emphasis on the wrong syllables, I'm going to throw in, if you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/theheidianway.
Or you can donate a coffee to our podcast at ko-fi.com/theheidianway.
Welcome to our comedy of errors.
So now here's my favorite part.
Obligation.
Yes.
I know one that makes sense, but it's a roll.
Does that work? It worked!
That's David again.
Oh, joy.
Unless you want to cycle through.
I want to cycle.
Good.
I'm much better. I prefer the idea of cycling. So that puts...
Billy will take it.
That's... In this case, it would be Cav and Theft.
That's like his...
Okay.
Be yeah, because it would be zero...
Cav just kind of stole a forklift.
Well, I'm just... Yeah.
I think that's for the original...
Fulfilled.
The original Theft.
Yeah,
of,
but
of
now you're getting Ecta. Now you're getting echoes of it.
At the very least, if we get the Nava computer, then he might.
Yeah.
Be able to
well,
do something
and like. if he works for one criminal,
yeah, networks. Please try a little later. What's going
Sorry,
on in the background?
Well, my Alexa responds to the word computer.
Hello, computer.
Exactly.
How do we know we didn't invent it?
You missed the Alexa conversation, but we were literally talking about that earlier during the break.
I got part of the Alexa conversation.
That's wonderful on a couple different levels.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure you can imagine how my lights turn on now.
Illuminate? Deluminate?
No, just lights.
Sorry, that's Demolition Man.